Give me strength to stand like they stood long ago. What did the author of that song, what was he trying to say to us? Did he see something? Was there something troubling him? Did he see that people just weren't standing like they used to stand long ago? May the Lord help us. I desire your prayers this evening. The Lord bless this little message that I have. It weighs heavy upon my heart. Turn with me, please, to Psalms, the 37th chapter, and the 4th verse. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." That's quite a promise, is it not?
Yeah.
To have the Lord promise us that he would give us the desires of our heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What delight do we... Tonight we're here and we've come to this service. And Brother Marty asked the question. I kind of missed it, but I think he asked, he said, Brother Marty, you can help me. Did you ask what the Lord had done for us? Looking for an answer?
Has the Lord been good to you?
Has the Lord been good to you?
Yeah.
He's been good. He gave me a life. Yeah. A life that I didn't deserve, that I didn't know was even there. He took what I had and threw it away and gave me something far better than I deserved. That's what the Lord did to me. That's good. That's as good as it can get. It's the best I've ever seen. I've seen nothing and found nothing better. If I did, I'd go to it. But this is so good. And I've looked and looked. I've found nothing better. To live for God. And I have learned to delight myself. I've learned to delight myself in Him. Tonight when you come here, are you delighted to be here? Mm-hmm. You know, the religious world, it's a chore to them to come out to service. It's a chore to do His duty. I remember aunt and uncle one time, and the minister, while we were there visiting, their pastor had come, and he was talking to them and said something about them singing that night. And they were all smiles and real nice. And the minute they closed the door, and the pastor left under their breath and just loud enough for us to hear it, they said, "Oh, we got to do it again." And I thought to myself, if it's that miserable, why are they going? If it's that hard to push to go out, why are they even going? Dear one, is it really a push to come here? Well, sometimes it is. The car doesn't want to start. Don't have money for fuel. Not feeling too well. I understand. Things come up. But I've learned in my short period of serving God that every time that I push through, there's always a blessing for me in that service.
Amen.
Every time that I haven't felt good, I went, well, not only is it there to get saints to pray for me, but there was a blessing for me. There was a blessing for me from the time where I didn't go somewhere else where I thought I needed to go, but I put church first and I made it there and God blessed my soul. There's a blessing when you push out to meet the Lord. Delight. The world finds it a duty and it's miserable. But to us, what about us? Do we really take that delight? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What are your desires? I guess that's where it all comes down to. What is your desire? Do you really desire to live for Him? To know what He has for you? Do you come here to hear, thus saith the Lord?
Yes, amen.
He made us for His pleasure, did He not?
Yes.
And to glorify Him. Let me tell you this story. I've said it before. I probably say it way too much, but I'm a repeater. Young minister from the pulpit asked, said, "Why are you here?" And it just came right out of my mouth. Because I want to make heaven. And just as soon as it did, the Lord pricked me and said, "No, you're not. You're here to glorify me."
Yeah.
You see, when it was me making heaven, it was about me. But you see, this isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about God. Yeah. And it's about glorifying Him.
Yes, that's so.
So I told the Lord I was sorry. I wasn't going to have to learn that mistake again. It's about glorifying Him. And if we want to glorify Him, the desires of our heart, what are they? To do His will and to glorify Him. And in it there's delight, there's joy, and there's peace. And then it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in Him, and he shall bring it to pass. All that he has promised, he can bring it to pass.
Yes.
He said he'll give you heaven if you live for him, if you'll delight yourself in him, if you'll glorify him in all that you do. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He can bring it to pass.
Oh, yes.
Two promises right there. And there's many more in this chapter, but I don't want to go any further. Because my burden lies in delighting ourselves in the Lord. But my question tonight to you is, would you like to have more faith? Would you like to have more faith? Is there anybody here that says they have all the faith that they need? I'm just overflowing with it and I see no place where I could use more faith. My question to you tonight is, would you like to have more faith? And then my second question is, what would you give to have more faith? If you could pay for it, would you buy it? If you could trade something for it, would you do it? Well, dear ones, tonight I've got a secret for you. I've learned how we can have more faith. Would you like me to tell you? I'm not going to charge you a dime. It's free. It's been hidden from the world. But you and I, the saints of God, can have it. We can know what the secret is to having more faith. Lord, help us. What is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter in the first verse says, Now faith, this is what it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Can't see it, can't touch it, can't handle it, but we know that it's there. How do we know? The devil, has he ever come to you and try to disrupt your faith? Try to tell you that you're really not saved? There's nothing to this? He's come to me. He's come to me and said that very thing. You're not saved. There's nothing to this. And I tell him, you're a liar. I know what I was, and I know what I am now. And it's not the same two people. God has made me over. I can almost like myself now. I used to hate myself. I was of no value really to anybody. I was a miserable man on the inside, and it came out on the outside. I don't know how my wife put up with me. I really don't. She had something from God that she was saved before I was, and it's a good thing. The devil was a liar, and I called him a liar. And he told me, he said, just give it up and go back to doing those things you used to do. You remember all the fun you had, all the things you used to do? I said, yeah, I remember, and I don't remember all that fun. All it cost me was a lot of money and a lot of health and a lot of time. And what did I get for it? Heartache, headaches, stomach aches, friction, tension. That's what I got out of it. No, devil, you can't lie to me and tell me it was so good, because I look back and it was horrible. What I have now is good. What I have now is good. Oh, the Lord is good. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. The elders. Who are the elders? Those people we look to. Now we talk about elder, we think of older. Well up in age, experienced. How would you like the elders of your church to have no faith? How would it be when you called someone for prayer? If your elders didn't have no faith, who would you call? But by faith, the elders obtain a good report. It's going to take faith. And we look to the elders. You know, I've heard it said that revival starts with the old folks. It doesn't start with the children or the young or the babes. It starts with the old folks. Why? Because the young look to the old and look to that experience. They want to see faith. And when they see faith in you, they want that. That's beautiful. I want some of that. Let's turn to Luke, the 18th chapter. Lord help us. Now hold that thought. I'm going to tell you what the secret is to having more faith. Luke the 18th chapter and the 8th verse. It says, I tell you that he will avenge himself. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? This is Jesus speaking here, and he wants to know. It's a question. I have a question mark after the word earth. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, and this is what I want to concentrate. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith is he talking about here? The faith for healing? The faith for salvation? Or the faith of our religious beliefs, our doctrines? Will he find what he taught? The doctrines of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a faith, dear ones. Is this the faith he's talking about? Dear ones, I believe he's talking about it all. Will he find faith on the earth when he returns? What's it going to be like when he breaks through those clouds? I've heard people say that no one's going to be getting saved anymore. I don't know if that's true. I don't read that in the Word of God. Could it be that bad? Can we come to a place where the Holy Spirit withdraws and no longer sends conviction? Someone was reading the other day about the multitudes filling the altars. I've been in meetings where I've seen the altars fill and empty and fill again. And it's a blessing. When was the last time we saw that? What's happening? Is the Word of God still going forth? I believe that it is. We've heard some messages in here that were anointed and they've been beautiful. They've touched my heart.
Oh, yeah.
But why aren't people moving? Is it a lack of faith? They really don't believe? They don't have faith to believe that God is who He says He is and that He's able to save to the uttermost? It doesn't matter, dear ones, what you've done or what you've been into. Their Jesus is the answer. His blood can cleanse it. He can fix any problem that's in your life. How do I know? Because He's done it for me. And He can do it for you. I've told people this before, let me say it again. If you knew my past life, you probably wouldn't want to hear me right now. What you see is what God has created. Because what I was before wasn't very pretty. But I'm not going to tell you that past life because it's gone and it's under the blood. And that's a good place to keep it. Out there in the middle of the ocean in the very depths, let the crab just kind of cover it over. Let's leave it there. May the Lord help us. Will he find faith when he returns? All right, Romans. Romans, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's the secret. Here's what I'm going to give you for free. It's right here in the Scriptures. And this is what it says. So then faith cometh. You want more faith? It cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how our faith grows. That's how you get more faith. It's by hearing the Word of God. Well, where do you hear it? Where do we go to hear the Word of God? Somebody answer me. Speak out loud so I can hear you. Where do you go to hear the Word of God? Huh?
The Bible.
No. I can't hear a thing.
You come out to service.
Church. We go to church to hear the Word of God, do we not? Thus saith the Lord. Now, listen, I didn't write this. This isn't my plan. I think that if I had come up with a plan, I'd have come up with a lot better plan than taking some ignorant farm boy and giving him the word and telling him to go preach when he doesn't even know how to read or spell. What's that old song that said, the preacher could hardly read, but what he said, the sinners took heed. How is that? Because it was all part of God's plan. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost. He didn't care about his talents. Dear ones, God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen. What a plan! It seems silly to me. The Bible calls it foolishness, but it's God's plan, and it works. Do you want more faith? Come to church and hear the Word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through a lump of clay. Just a man or a woman reading the Word and having the thoughts come. Brother Wilson was talking about Brother Ulysses S. Philip. He gets so excited. The words would be coming to him, the thoughts so fast. He'd just say, whoa, I can't speak any faster. That blessed my soul. I've been there. Brother Marty one time said, you get so excited that you start spitting all over the place. I've been there. I've had to wipe it off and start over. That's excitement. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is doing something for us. I've had a brother ask me, come up after I preached him. I said, oh, brother, that was good. And I said, oh, it sure was. But he understood it wasn't me, it was God. And when God gives you a thought, when Ulysses S. Phil got excited, he was excited what God was doing. It wasn't what he was doing. Why do we come to church? To hear the Word of God. Why? Because it'll lift up our faith.
Yes.
It'll cause us to believe.
Yes.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What a secret. Been hid from the world, but it's not hid from us, dear ones. It's right here. It was given to us freely. Well, let me take that back. There was a lot of blood shed to bring this down to you and I. And it started with Christ Jesus. No, let's go on back a little further. It actually started with John the Baptist. He taught repent and be baptized for the remission of sins.
Yeah.
That was when the kingdom of God began to come. It was close at hand. Then Jesus shed his blood. And he said, it's finished. And then he rose again on the third day. And it was made complete. Mm-hmm. Then the Holy Ghost was given. And it was sealed. It was sealed.
Yeah.
Dear ones, all that's in this word is yours and mine. It's free unto us. We have it. You want more faith? I asked you that question. What would you give for it? Will you push through the snowstorms? Would you push through the heat? Would you turn on the air conditioner in your car and make it? I listen about the stories of the old timers. They used to walk 100 miles. It'd take them days to get to meeting. And those old camp meetings would last 3 and 4 weeks. They had one set of clothes. They'd go down to the creek and bathe. And old Brother Husky told us one time they had a camp meeting and nobody brought any food. They were without food for days, but no one left. They stayed right there, preached the gospel, and souls were being saved.
Praise the Lord.
And people were happy.
Yeah, that's true.
Their souls were being fed. Their bodies might have been hungry, but that's not what they come for, was it?
No, Lord.
Oh, good stuff. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What would you pay for it? What would it take to get you out to service? May the Lord help us. Acts the 8th chapter.
Lord help you.
8th chapter and the 26th verse. This is talking about Philip and the youth. Well, let's go ahead and read it. We're not pressed for time, are we? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Isn't that something? The angel of the Lord come to a man and spoke to him, told him exactly what he wanted him to do. And he didn't hesitate, did he? And the next verse, and he arose and went, and behold, a man in Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man was obedient to that heavenly calling. God had already called him to the ministry, and now he was led. The angel spoke to him, and he was faithful. God dried up. Didn't say that he tarried, Oh, dear ones, it's time for some of us to get up and get moving. And this Ethiopian, a man of great authority, this man must have been wealthy. I mean, he had the treasure of the whole kingdom of Queen Candace, and she trusted him. And he had gone, he must have had a Jewish lineage, because he'd gone to Jerusalem for to worship. But he was returning and sitting in his chariot with Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, now the Spirit's talking to Philip again, and said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Dear ones, this man of wealth and probably education, reading the Word of God and didn't really understand it. How many of us really understand it? How many of us come to service because we need help? Dear ones, why do we come to service? In Holly Hill, I was corrected. During Sunday school, the scripture was read about Paul and the captain talking about obtaining freedom with a large sum of money. And one of the sisters asked, well, who was this about? Was it about the captain or was it about Paul? Now, I've read those scriptures many times, and I just assumed it was about Paul. He was asking Paul, did you buy your freedom with a large sum of money? Paul said, nay, but I was freeborn. It wasn't about Paul at all. One of the brothers corrected me. He said, no, this is about the captain. He bought his freedom with a large sum of money. Paul said, no, but I was freeborn. So I apologized to the congregation and said, I had that wrong. Why do we come together? Because we correct one another. We keep ourselves going on that straight and narrow. Dear ones, that's what it's about. We're a family of God, and we need one another, and we work together. Yeah. I've heard people say, well, Paul went out into the desert, and he got everything he needed from God. But you know, when I look into the history and I read the commentaries, they said there was a lot of Jewish people out there in that desert, and he was out there preaching. That rang a whole lot more true to my heart than them people saying he just went out to the desert and he just got everything he needed. He didn't need nobody else. Then why did God send him into town and have Ananias come and talk to him and pray for him? Because he needed him. He needed that instruction. Dear ones, we need one another.
Yes.
And if we don't meet together, what are we missing out on? Some people think they can come to church once a week. Big congregation I was in, to me it's a big congregation because I was saved in a congregation of about a dozen when you count the children and everything. And well, no, I take that back because we had a lot of children. So it's a little bigger than that, but not much, two handfuls, or maybe more. And well, this congregation on a Sunday morning would have over 100. Have over 100 show up. Oh, it was wonderful. The scene was beautiful, had over 100 there, but Sunday night would come along and there was 25. 25. Now, there was a minister, the pastor would preach on Sunday morning, and there were some other ministers in the congregation, and one of them would preach on Sunday night. We didn't need to hear the minister Sunday night. His message wasn't from God, it wasn't anointed. How is that? We need to hear the one on Sunday morning from the pastor, but the one on Sunday night, we can just pass on that. Well, dear ones, you just missed out on something.
Yes.
I believe it.
Yes, you did. Yes.
If that young minister or old minister or whoever it was that took it on Sunday night, if he had a word from God and he was going to give it to you and you weren't there, you missed out.
Yes.
Are we part-time saints? Are we part-time Christians?
No.
Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord.
So the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself. And he ran hither and he asked him, understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he related the scriptures and talked about Jesus and all those things, how wonderful it was. To a point where the eunuch declared his belief and he said, there's water. My point in this was saying that we need someone to help guide us. That's why God has given the gifts of the ministry. Pastors and evangelists and teachers and deacons and then the gifts of helps and government and healing and tongues and interpretations and discernment and understanding and wisdom. We need those gifts.
Yes.
We need those gifts manifested in the church. But we got people who won't even come to church. Recently, talking to a young lady that I know, a family member, had called the pastor. And that's a good thing. But this young lady made it a habit of calling the pastor for everything. And one day she called and the wife of the pastor answered. Said, I want to talk to the pastor. And the wife said, why? Why do you want to know what my husband has to say when you won't even come to church and hear what God has to say? Well, she asked us, should I be offended? Should I be offended? No! You shouldn't be offended. You better think about that very thing. Are you faithful? Do you go to church to hear what God has to say? Or do you just stay home and call the pastor and wear him out, wear his wife out? No, don't be offended. This was truth. And it'll do your soul some good. Take it to heart. What is she saying there? Come to church and hear what God has to say. And then you won't have to hear what the pastor has to say. He's already said it. God used him to say it once.
Yes, that's so.
Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Brother Rich, what does this have to do with faith? It has a lot to do with faith. Where do you hear burdens? What service do you go to where people express their burdens? Anybody? Come on now. Help me out here.
Prayer meeting.
That's a meeting for the saints. That's where the saints get to express themselves.
Yeah.
That's where it's an open meeting.
Yeah.
You can pray and you can testify. You can sing at your meeting. That's where the burdens are brought forth. I told you on Sunday we'd have over 100 in the morning. At night we had 25. How many do you think we had on Wednesday night prayer meeting? If we had 15, we were really doing good. And yet the Bible says right here, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. How can you bear them if you don't know what they are? Young man told me one time in service, he said, he lived quite a ways from service, but he didn't live as far as we did. No, maybe he did. It was about the same pretty much. And he said, I want the saints to start calling me because I want to be in. I want to be in the loop. I want to bear their burdens. But who would call him? They had no confidence in him. He never come to church. No, he seen once in a while. But yet he wanted to be a part. Listen, you can't take this hand and take a finger off and say, look, there's a part missing. It's not working with the rest of them. Dear ones, you want to be a part of this thing? Then be a part of it. Now let's go on and read this because it's very important. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There, Christ has got a law. And what is it? To bear one another's burdens. Dear ones, if you don't know what they are, you're outside of the law of Christ. Where does that put you? That puts you in a place where you're not part of this kingdom. And if you are, it's very shaky. So you have Sunday service in the morning, Sunday service at night, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and Lord willing, Friday night Bible study. That's where I grew up. That's what we had. And there was only a few of us. But you know what we had in that congregation? We had love. We needed one another. There was only a few of us. And we depended on one another. And when someone wasn't in service, it looked like, it just like there was a hole there. There was a hole because someone was not there. Now they may have been sick. There may have been a reason. There's many good reasons. But dear ones, when we can make it, we need to be in service. We're required by God. Doesn't it say, "Saint forsake not the assembling of yourselves together"? That's why I don't think Paul went out there in the desert just getting a hold of God and not being with anybody. I believe he was learning, and he was learning from the saints out there in the desert. Why? Because this is what the Word tells me. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Dear ones, carrying one another's burdens. As the family of God, it's our responsibility. And you're not going to know what those are unless you become part of this thing. And you've got to come to church. Man asked me recently, "Well, what should I do to become part?" I says, "Be there. Be there. When they got a cleanup project, be there. They got a building project, be there. Give up your time, your money, and your effort. And pretty soon, they're going to depend on you. And they're going to need you. And you're going to be a part of that thing. You'll just be accepted." Yeah. Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah.
Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ, dear ones, got a law. And it says that you and I should bear one another's burdens. But I've got too many. I've got too many of my own. I can't bear anybody else's. Well, then come up here and get them out of the way. And then you can help bear other people's burdens. James 5 and 16. James the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. It says, "Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed." Confess your faults. I've asked this question. I'm going to ask it again. Have you ever been in a confession meeting? Brother Wilson, what was it like?
Very sweet.
I asked that in one place, and a sister way back in the back, she said it was beautiful. So now I've got beautiful and I've got sweet. Oh, I tell you, I was in one of those impromptu confession meetings. Nobody announced it. We just went to church one night, and the sister got up, and she began to testify. She began to confess. She began to cry.
Yeah.
And it touched us all.
Yes.
And when she sat down, another one got up. And then another one. And pretty soon everybody had confessed. Yay, what clearing of yourself. Yay, what revenge.
Yeah.
Revenge.
Yeah.
Why? Because you've exposed it. You've brought it out there. And with that, there's a clearing.
Yes, sir.
And what about the revenge? You're taking it on the devil. You've exposed it. He can't hide anymore. Out the door he goes.
Yes.
Confession meetings. Oh, I haven't been in many, but they have all been sweet and they've all been beautiful. And I thank the Lord for them. Oh, what clearing. Oh, what desire. Yea, what revenge. Revenge on the devil that tricked me and lied to me. And lied to my friends and my family and my loved ones. Oh, anytime I get a chance to put my foot upon his neck, well, I'll do it. Get out of my way. I'm coming. I want to put my foot right on him and I want to crush him to the ground. Confess your faults. Oh, that will expose it. That'll put him to flight, dear ones. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that she may be healed. How do we know to pray for one another if we don't know there's something to pray about? You've got to come to service, dear ones. You want to be part of this thing? You've got to come. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What kind of man is that? What does it take to be that kind of man? What kind of man is this? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As I read the Word of God, I read about a man that prayed and the earth stood still. I read about a man that prayed and the sun stood still. He prayed again and the rains came.
Yes, yes.
Is that effectual, fervent prayer? That's a man that can get a hold of God.
Yes.
But it's going to take a righteous man, it says. A man that's gotten rid of all the junk. Yeah. Cast off the world, the desires, the wants, and put God first. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth unto God. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 26th verse. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it.
Oh.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. 25th verse. And there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care, one for another. Dear ones, we're going to have to know one another. I've heard the scripture used in this meeting, know those that labor amongst you. Try the Spirit, see if they be of God. Well, that's always put that towards the ministry, aren't we? Well, what about you and I in the congregation? What about you and I in the congregation? Are we unimportant? Does it matter the sister or brother that sits next to you on this side or that side? According to this scripture, I think we're very important.
Yes.
Because we're members one of another.
Yes.
If one suffer, we're all supposed to suffer.
Yes.
If one rejoices in honor, we rejoice with them. And thank the Lord for it. When I hear somebody's been healed, my heart jumps. When I hear God has done something wonderful, my heart jumps. My faith begins to grow. Dear ones, that's why we come together, to exhort, to admonish, to instruct. It'll keep us on that straight and narrow way that we heard about. You know that tight little hole that you got to squeeze through it, leave a little skin, leave a little blood behind. I wonder how embarrassed those men were having to take off their clothes. Do you think they were? Brother Marks took the clothes off. How much does freedom mean? How much does liberty in Christ mean to us? Talking about stripping, I'm not talking about spiritual. I'm talking spiritually now. I'm talking about stripping away those things that will hinder us. To them it was closed for that night when it was dark. But what about us in the day? Are we stripping so that we can get through that narrow passageway? Have we put away the world, our lust and our desires? May the Lord help us. Why do we come together? Because we come to exhort one another, to edify one another, to bear one another's burdens. And how can we do that if we don't come to service? How important is service? If there's four services a week and you only come on Sunday morning, are you a 25% Christian?
Yeah, Lord help.
Do you go twice a 50%? Wouldn't it be better to be 100%? May the Lord help us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We got to be here to hear the Word of God go forth, whether it's from the minister, the teacher, or the little brother or sister that stands up and exhorts to us or testifies to us. What about tapes and CDs, Brother Rich? Oh, they're good and I enjoy them. I'm traveling down that road. My wife and I put a lot of miles on the last few years. And I'll listen to them. They're good. And I really enjoy them. But the Spirit. The Spirit. We come to service and we expect the Holy Ghost to be here in our presence. Is Jesus here tonight? We're two or more gathered together. He'll be there in the midst. You can't get that on a CD. You can't get that on a cassette. Oh, it's good, and sometimes I can feel the anointing of the message come forth. But it's not like being there in the presence and have the Holy Ghost come by and put His hand on your shoulder.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Another one of my stories, told it before, tell again. We were in Dallas, Texas. First time I'd ever been there. And it was in the old little chapel downtown. Went in there and sat down, looked around, and I began to cry. And the tears were just running down, and I couldn't stop them. They were just running down. And my wife looked over at me, and she began to cry. She hit me in her elbow and the ribs. She says, "Why are you crying?" I said, "Because I don't deserve to be here." Dear ones, that's the thought that came to me. Here I am sitting in a chapel, surrounded by God's people. How did I get here? Salvation is how I got there. And the Lord gave me a desire to be there. And now that I was there and realized that I didn't deserve it, it overwhelmed me and it flooded me with such joy that the tears began to run. I didn't deserve to be there. But oh, I was so thankful that I was. And I looked around and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody was crying and nobody said a word. I thought, do they do this all the time here? I didn't understand. Did we just come in here and cry for a while before service? No one said a word. Service went on. We had songs and prayer and preaching and dismissal. And I'm still in a puzzle. You know what happened? The Spirit of God gave us a special visitation. That's what happened. Can you have that in your pickup truck? Yes, you can. But there's something special about being with the saints. Yes, something amen. Special about it. God made it that way. It's all part of His plan. I don't know if I've missed some scriptures. Oh, 1 Corinthians. Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And the 21st verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Remember I told you it's kind of foolish to take an unlearned and ignorant fisherman. How many did he walk along the shore and call? And the people realized, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. Something had happened. Something transpired there. They were never the same after that time.
That's so.
And they went about preaching the Word of God. Repent and baptize and be baptized for the remission of sins. John the Baptist taught it. Jesus taught it. And then the apostles and disciples taught it. Ignorant and unlearned men He chose. Why? Because they weren't lifted up and proud. He could use them. Humble and broken. Oh, they still had their little problems, but He corrected those too, didn't He? Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. Brother recently preached a message. I'm not going to give you his name. He preached a message and I was in there in a congregation and he kicked me around pretty good. And I told him later, I said, I had about enough out of you. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Man, you really worked me over." He said, "You got a problem with that?" I said, "No. If the Lord loves me enough to send a message to me through you, I'm rejoicing."
Yes.
I ain't getting kicked around. Even a good spanking from God is wonderful. Why? Because he still loves us.
That's right.
I had to go to church. I'd have never, if I'd have skipped that day, I would have never got that kicking. I never would have got beat around. But I learned some things. They moved up a little bit more. And I can rejoice in it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me see if I've missed any other. Well, let me read on a little bit. I was in Corinthians 1, 21. Oh, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. People couldn't get them. Remember, I told you it's a secret. It's been hid. It's a mystery. But it's revealed to you and I that we can have faith by hearing the word of God. To them, to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. It was an offense to them. It was too silly, too beneath them. And the Greeks declared it foolishness. But to those that believe, the power of God. Let's go on.
Yes, amen.
For unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks. Now we got Jews and Greeks still. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Oh, it's hid from the world, but it's for you and I to know and to understand. Will you drink it in? Dear ones, we've got to come to church. We've got to be part of this thing. You want to be part of the family of God, the children of God. We do it here, dear ones. I don't care what congregation you belong to. Become part of it. Support it. Be there. One young man told me one time, he said, well, our congregation is just not where it should be. I said, then get in there and make it what it ought to be.
Yes.
Make it what it ought to be. Go in there and set the example. Do what needs to be done. God will work with you. God will bless you. And they'll step back and look and say, I want to be like that. That's what the beauty of holiness will do. That's what the faith will do. And I'll tell you what, dear ones, that's what a little zeal will do too. We need more zeal in the church. Zeal is something that draws people. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about something that's real and it's good and it's of the Holy Ghost. Romans, the first chapter. And the 17th verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Dear ones, that's how we live. Yes. As the saints of God, by faith. Wasn't it Martin Luther that got a hold of this thing? The just shall live by faith. And now you have the Lutherans, and where are they at today? You can't find any faith amongst them.
No.
And the Methodists, talking to a woman that's been a Methodist for 20 years. I started talking to her about the Wesley brothers. I said, oh, the Wesley brothers, they brought forth to us the sanctification, the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And she looked at me in a puzzled face. She said, I've never heard that. I said, you've been with the Wesley movement for the Methodist for 20 years and you don't know about a sanctified life? She said, I've never heard that. Dear ones, if we're not careful, we're going to lose what we've got. Why? Because you don't want to come to church. Why? Because you don't want to be part of this thing. And it can be lost to us just like it's lost to them. We're under attack today. Yes. I didn't hear, Brother Wilson, how that vote came today. I tried to find out, but I didn't. But dear ones, we the Christian people, the true believers, are under attack. Yes. And if we don't stand strong and true, this thing could be lost. It could be stolen. We could go back into the dark ages again. Yes. Why? Yes. Because we won't put forth the effort. What are you willing to pay to have more faith? A little gas in the tank, maybe taken off from that overtime. Sister told me just recently, she said she knew a man that every Wednesday night before prayer meeting, he'd leave his job early because he wanted to go home, get rested, and he wanted to go to service ready and alert, and he didn't want to miss anything. She used different words. I'm just kind of paraphrasing the way I got it. And I thought, yes, and that man doesn't worship with us. ought to be ashamed. Lord, help us.
Yes.
Help us. This thing is beautiful. This walk is beautiful. Do you delight yourself? Do you delight yourself in coming to church? Does it mean something to you? Do you look forward to it? Would you rather be here than anybody else?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Lord, help us. The goodness of God. You're here. You're here. If you've got anything that hinders you in your life, any baggage, whatever it may be, take care of it. Bring it to God. God, I need a different job. My hours are wrong. Pray about it. God can move it out, give you another job. Yes, He can. Well, I live too far from church. It's so hard to get there, and the gas is so expensive. Move closer. Young man asked me, he said, well, I'm thinking about buying this house. I asked him, I said, how far is it to church? Oh, it's quite a ways. I said, listen, you'll make it to work. I know you'll make it to work. You get as close to church as you can. Because we're talking about your family, your wife and your children. They need to be in church. You'll make it to work. Get rid of the excuses. Get rid of the baggage. Become part of this thing. May the Lord help us. You pray for me.
Yes, amen.